And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM, streaming online at freakradio.org. There is some breaking news from the Buffalo Field Campaign. There's been 53 of America's last wild bison captured this morning inside the Stevens Creek Bison Trap, located within Yellowstone's National Parks border. The plan of the National Park Service is to slaughter these buffalo, including possibly some calves. Joining me on the phone right now to discuss this is Mike Meese. He is campaign coordinator and co-founder of the Buffalo Field Campaign. They're a group that works in the field every day to stop the slaughter and harassment of Yellowstone's wild buffalo. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Pretty good. How are you?
Well, better than the buffalo, unfortunately.
Maybe you can just start off by telling us why they captured these 53 buffalo, including some calves. How many calves are there, and just why they did this?
Well, the exact numbers, you know, they have such a huge closure on the area that we have no idea of the exact count of how many are in there. They've told us 53. There were some last year's calves that were about 6 to 7 months old. But, I mean, I think the most disturbing thing is we've all entrusted the National Park Service to protect our wildlife, to have the first national park in our history, Yellowstone, take precedence over wildlife, and here we have, as we see all throughout America in so many different forms and facets nowadays, corporate America superseding the general public of America. Here we have Yellowstone National Park, paid employees by our taxpayer dollars, catering to the cattle industries of Montana, and you know, it's just disgusting to me. I every year I keep thinking, oh, it's going to get a little better. They're going to start to see the light and the importance of America's last wild genetically pure buffalo. There's three different tribes now exerting their treaty rights to get back involved with the buffalo issue. And I think we're all longing for the day when the First Nations people come back here and just tell the park, sorry, you no longer can be the caretakers of our sacred animals, that that we need to take them back to someone that respects and honors and has reverence for these sacred beings. And
so the National Park Service is the one who's now got these 53 wild buffalo, the Yellowstone National Park officials captured them. Was that this morning?
It was yesterday.
Yesterday
morning.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the ironic thing. Everyone thinks that the Yellowstone National Park, everything's safe, but if the buffalo come anywhere near the boundaries, they just capture them and throw them in a slaughter facility. I mean, the nicest thing that might happen is some of these young yearling buffalo will, instead of going directly to a slaughterhouse, they will then become prisoners of a quarantine project where they're taking orphan calves, making them live in a little pen, and if they keep testing negative for 4 years, there's rumor they may release them to the wild or put them in another caged-in fence. But, I mean, if you were born wild and all of a sudden you're set in a pen for the rest of your life, you know, it's a lot like us activists that are sitting behind bars for the rest of our lives because we spoke our minds or we did something to create change. And
so
the consequence under this administration, I think, mm-hmm. is scary.
So back to my question of why they're doing this, you made a reference to the fact that they've caved into Montana's livestock industry at the expense of the wild buffalo. Maybe you can explain what's behind that.
Okay, when the cows started coming over here from Europe, they brought with them many diseases. And in the Yellowstone ecosystem, they brought one in particular that they gave to all the wildlife in the ecosystem, and that was brucellosis. Now, this disease has never been transferred in the wild by bison, and it hasn't really been a problem because, well, bison don't tend to like to hang out with cows. And ironically, the disease has been transmitted on several occasions by the elk, and yet the elk are never mentioned in the management plan. And Montana last year had an outbreak of brucellosis in a herd in Bridger, Montana, which they couldn't blame the buffalo for, and they tried to blame the elk, but the test didn't come up conclusive. And then, ironically, all the seven cows, and these are beef cows, that were infected, all the samples were destroyed. And we feel because that it was a cow-to-cow transmission, and they just want to keep blaming the wildlife and keep killing the wildlife over this disease.
So that's
now,
their justification.
The disease is non-fatal, non-death-consuming, you know, and there's just a lot of hype and ridiculous hysteria over this disease, and there's certainly so many risk management tactics that we could take by, you know, the handful of cows that are in the affected area or areas that they could get infected, and yet the zero tolerance policy is all we hear and redundantly watch buffalo suffer the consequence for this.
So these 53 buffalo were captured by the Yellowstone National Park officials after they followed their natural migratory instinct, which was to, you know, migrate, whatever, walk around. They walked onto an area that was owned by the Church Universal and Triumphant Cut.
Yeah.
So maybe you can explain that's why they were captured in this case?
Well, I mean, they have cows out there, and it's a migratory corridor along the Yellowstone River. Ironically, the Church Universal and Triumphant was given $13 million back in 2000 to have a little acceptance of these bison, and to date, the bison have gotten no access to habitat, and so, you know, it's the livestock industries that just will not give an inch and redundantly just make the buffalo suffer for it, you know.
So this church has about 250 cows on their property, and the justification then would be that they captured these buffalo and plan to slaughter them to protect these cows. Is that what the justification would be?
A doubt, yes.
Okay, but you're saying that it doesn't transfer from buffalo to cows, and that actually
it has
the
never
cows
in
that
the wild, and you know, there's all this hype and hysteria. They're also at the far north end of their land, and the buffalo are just coming into the south end, and we're talking about a 10-mile difference there. And, you know, when the government and taxpayers give a church or someone $13 million to have tolerance, it seems to me that there should be a little. And yet to this date, you know, here we are 8 years later, and they're demanding more money to even accept that they could have any buffalo ever there. So, I mean, it's just this redundant outcry of money and hysteria for the cattle industry over a disease that I think is overhyped.
Now, there has been a public outcry in the past that it seems like it was mainly the people's attention were brought to it by you, the Buffalo Field Campaign, and actually at times have been successful in stopping these types of efforts by the National Park Service to kill wild buffalo. Do you think this time you might be able to get enough people to speak out to stop this? What's the time frame on this particular plan?
Well, I mean, we have a National Week of Outrage coming up where we have a lot of call-in days, and Humane Society of the United States with their 7 million members are going to participate and hopefully flood the phone lines, and all that information is available on our website, buffalofieldcampaign.org. But, you know, I think under this administration, when you watch how we treat people and human beings, it's really hard to get a word edgewise in about what's going on with the animals. And, I mean, we're all, I guess, like everyone else in the states right now, are very hopeful for a regime change and hopefully a philosophy change and a better way of looking at things for the long term and the long, you know, because, I mean, the one thing that sitting and spending 10 years with the buffalo has taught me is that we're all important and we all matter and we're all part of this herd. And until we can treat each other as human beings the right way with the right respect, we're not going to make much progress in these, you know, animal rights issues and these tree issues, because we don't even know how to live together anymore and care about each other. And that's where I think we need to go back to basics and start learning and figuring out that all of us matter, and we have to start doing things that are right for all of us and just not the upper 12% of our echelon. You know, when we pollute this air, we have to all have to breathe. When we pollute the water, when we legally sell food that's toxic to everybody, you know, something's obviously very wrong in our leadership and in our guidance factor. And I think we need to come back to change all that. And, you know, the buffalo will be here, and they'll be persistent and defiant, and they will go where they have to go, whether we put up a fence, whether we tell them they can't go there, because they know how to survive. They know how to take care of their herd, and they know how to make sure that everyone cares and matters in their circles. And I just think humanity needs to take a little lesson from that.
I'm speaking with Mike Meese. He's co-founder and campaign coordinator for the Buffalo Field Campaign. Their website is buffalofieldcampaign.org. And he just mentioned that there's a National Week of Outreach coming up. You can get information about that on the website. You can see the press release that's at the top of the homepage there about how the Yellowstone National Park officials captured 53 wild American bison yesterday morning, February 8th, out inside the Stevens Creek Bison Trap, which is located within Yellowstone National Park's borders. The official justification for this being that they wandered onto some church property that hosts fewer than 250 cows, claiming that this is a danger to the cows, I guess. But we're hearing from Mike that has never happened. The brucellosis has never passed to cows from wild buffalo. There's not a documented case of it in the wild. So this is part of a bigger picture. I just have a couple more questions for you, Mike. This is part of a bigger picture. There's also been a hunt going on, of wild buffalo, and, maybe you can tie this in, this particular, current incident with the 53 buffalo, into the larger picture with the buffalo there.
Well, you know, the hunt is just another form of zero tolerance in our state. Last year, we had a migration of a whopping 11 buffalo that came out of the park on the western region, and they had issued 95 tags. So obviously, every single buffalo that dared to walk out was shot and killed. So, you know, as much as we're into the Native American rights to hunt and everything, which we feel is a viable solution down the road for these animals, when there isn't any habitat year-round, and this is just an adjunct to make sure that Montana will never have buffalo in the state. I mean, we shoot and kill every single one for these 3 months from November till February, and then February the gauntlet comes down and there's no more tolerance and we're going to capture and kill everything that comes out. You know, it's like Montana has a lot of land. We have a lot of national forest. We have a lot of public land that's available and could be utilized as buffalo habitat. And I just feel that we're going to be working in this year trying to get some of that national forest turned into preserve land for the buffalo, earmarked. And we're not going to be able to do it with our state senators and our congressmen, because they're all owned by the PAC money of the cattle industry. And so we're going to have to look to the strength of senators from the East Coast and West Coast that have vision and foresight, that can understand the worth of these buffalo. And we're just going to go around the cattle industry and start showing how ridiculous they are, that they're just control freaks. These are people that are left over from the cattle barons era that still think they have the right to do anything they want with our public lands and our national forest. And, I mean, it's time that Americans stand up and start doing something that's right for all of our future generations, and quit living so much in the now. I mean, I feel sorry for kids nowadays, what they're going to have to go through in their lifetime. You're probably going to have to wear radiation suits, and, you know, we just, our country refuses to admit there's ever any problems, and we're always the last on board to admit global warming could be a reality, or, you know, it's like, it's time that we made some major changes in this country about the way we do everything. And I think the time is now, and I think the people are ready for it. We just got to start cattle prodding, no pun intended, our leaders into doing what's right for all of us and not just the rich people that fund their campaigns.
I want to mention that these 53 wild buffalo that were captured yesterday morning are, again, they're members of the last wild genetically intact population existing in the U.S., and that population numbers fewer than 4,600. And since 2000, about 2,120 of these wild buffalo have been killed or otherwise removed from the wild population. I want to talk a little bit about the fact that the national park officials intend to slaughter these 53 buffalo without testing them for brucellosis first. The calves they plan to test, but not the adults. They'll slaughter all the adults without testing, and the calves they plan to test, and if they're positive, will be slaughtered, and if they're not, will be sent to some sterile research facility under quarantine. Talk about what it means when these animals are slaughtered, beyond these are the last wild buffalo, but just how are they handled? What is this like when they're taken to slaughter?
Well, I mean, you know, what it jeopardizes is the genetic integrity. And I think, you know, they bring them into these cattle capture facilities, separate them into pen, run them through squeeze chutes, you know, and buffalo traditionally take care of one another and care about one another. And I've seen them do some pretty phenomenal things out in the wild to help each other. But when put in concentration camp like pens, their behavior gets a little different and they tend to gore each other and hurt each other. And a lot of injuries occur. And then they load them up onto cattle trucks. In previous years when they've done big numbers, they've even used those double-decker 18-wheeler cattle trucks and hauled them up to 500 miles to slaughterhouses. So, I mean, they're treating these wild animals how they treat cattle, and it's just an utter disrespect. I mean, one thing that I always think about is, like, the reason Yellowstone National Park was formed. It was formed to save the buffalo. At one point, before the park was founded, they had cavalry out protecting these buffalo from being killed. And here we are, less than 130 years ago, you know, later, and here we are killing the damn buffalo for the same interest, the cattle interest, the, you know, taking over the conquering of the West. And it's just it's such an utter disrespect and disgrace that this is still going on in this day and age that I just, you know, it's unbelievable.
I don't approve of them slaughtering the bison at all, but if they are going to slaughter them, I don't understand why they're putting them in these chutes and trying to capture wild animals, you know, in this way. They're not domestic, and then slaughtering them, it's going to be twice as traumatic because they're wild. And so
exactly.
I don't understand why they don't just shoot them in the head or something. I mean, I'm not advocating that they
do that.
But why would they put them through this whole thing of trucking them and you know, why don't they just kill them in a more humane way if they're going to be killing them? I don't think they should kill them.
This keeps it out of the public's eye, because if they were just shooting them in the field and gunning them all down, we'd be able to get it on video and show the world. And people wouldn't stand for that. But when they do, you know, in their fences, they close the public off. They have media days, and they'll take you on guided tours, but they won't let you see what's going on inside these capture facilities, all the injuries that are occurring, the torture. And then in the slaughterhouses, it's the same thing. And so my idea is, it's like our government. We hide everything from the people, and then they don't realize how bad it really is, or that we could even fathom to be doing this very cruel thing.
So you think most visitors to Yellowstone National Park and most supporters of the park probably don't even know that they're killing wild buffalo?
Well, you look at the months when it occurs. It occurs from November until June, because in June, the big tourist rush starts. On average, Yellowstone National Park gets 3 to 5 million tourists that come through, and basically there's no slaughter that goes on during those months. And that's why we do our Freedom of Information table inside of the park and try and educate as many visitors as possible as to the plight of the buffalo when they're not around.
I've been speaking with Mike Meese. He is co-founder and campaign coordinator at Buffalo Field Campaign. Their website is buffalofieldcampaign.org. And maybe we can end on a note of what kind of actions people can take, not only to stand up for these 53 buffalo that are facing slaughter at the moment, but in general.
Well, I mean, if you look at our website, there's people to write letters to, people to call, people to be outraged at, but I don't think there's anything better in the world than actually coming out here and volunteering with us and standing with these buffalo from sunrise to sunset. And we have people from around the world. We provide 3 squares a day. We cater to a vegan diet, but we also have locally harvested wild game and fish out of the lake. And we have food and shelter for everyone that wants to come and basically come out here and make a difference. Come out here and see it for yourself. Be able to tell the story through your own viewpoint. And, you know, it doesn't seem like it's making a difference, but it is. If it's doing nothing else, it's holding this government liable for their every single action against these sacred buffalo.
I want to thank you so much for joining me today, Mike, and just appreciate your work. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you guys, and keep the real news sources alive and well, because this world is trying to eliminate them, and so we really appreciate the work that you do by educating the public to what really needs to be known, and thank you.
No problem. Take care, Mike.
Bye.
Bye. Again, that was Mike Meese, co-founder of the Buffalo Field Campaign. Their website is buffalofieldcampaign.org. You can find out about the upcoming National Week of Outreach there that he mentioned, as well as see a press release about the 53 wild buffalo that were captured yesterday morning inside the Stevens Creek Bison Trap, which is inside Yellowstone National Park's borders. They plan, the National Park Service, to slaughter these buffalo without testing them for brucellosis, the livestock disease that they claim can be spread from wild buffalo to cows, even though there's never been a documented case of wild bison transmitting brucellosis to cattle. Please take action on this. If you care about the wild buffalo, check out buffalofieldcampaign.org and their homepage there. You'll find the press release and also just a ton of information, as well as contacts of folks you can call, letters you can write, how you can get involved, and also, as Mike mentioned, how you can come and visit and work with them directly in the field, buffalofieldcampaign.org. And I want to mention that this interview will be posted at santacruzindymedia.org. That's indiebay.org/Santa Cruz is the website if you want to pass this information along to friends or suggest that they hear the interview as well. I'm going to upload it to Santa Cruz Indie Media right now, so it should be up soon, hopefully in a day or so. indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, and there's also a lot of other really great information at that website, indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. Thanks for listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM.